Welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church in Burlington, North Carolina, featuring expositional Bible teaching by Pastor Greg Barkman. If you'd like to correspond with the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201, or find us on the web at beaconbaptist.com. BeaconBaptist.com. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. Now, with today's message from God's Word, here is Greg Barkman.
Amazing Grace. I have entitled the section of 1 Corinthians chapter 4 that we're studying right now, Attitude Adjustments. And it has to do with how we should adjust our wrong attitudes about ourselves and about others. And when we do, when we get our attitudes to line up with what the Bible teaches and with the kinds of attitudes that we will have if we respond properly to biblical truth, then these problems with relationships in life are going to largely disappear. And particularly, Paul is working on this problem of divisions in the Corinthian church, and he says it can be traced back to way too much pride and this attitude problem that so many people have. Have you ever said to someone, maybe your wife or husband, after you went through a checkout line in a store, and you got outside and you said, "That cashier really had an attitude"? Maybe you've never said anything like that, but I confess that I have. "That person really had an attitude." And of course, what we mean by that is they had a bad attitude. They had a chip on the shoulder attitude. They had a hateful attitude. We use the word in that sense, a bad attitude. We don't usually say bad attitude. We just generally say they've got an attitude. But what we mean is they've got a wrong attitude, a bad attitude. Well, again, it's one of these things that's a whole lot easier to see in others than it is to see in ourselves. Has it ever occurred to you that you might have a wrong attitude, and that it's possible that your wrong attitude triggers a corresponding or a responding wrong attitude in others? Could that possibly be? I was talking to my wife the other day, and she had been talking to a dear lady in our church. And this lady made reference to my mother's father, who's long been with the Lord, but who was a godly man. And she said, "I was talking to your father one day about the problem I was having with my husband." And she has had a troubled marriage. And she said, "You know what he said to me? He said, well," and he called the lady's name, "has it ever occurred to you that it's possible that you could be part of the problem?" And it was like she'd never thought about that before. he said that to me, that I could be part of the problem, and it really helped her. It made her think, because she could see all of these things that were wrong with her husband, but hadn't really considered that there might be anything wrong with herself that in some way was contributing to the problems with her husband, in some way was causing his attitudes to be wrong in response to her own attitudes. Well, that's the way it is with a lot of us. That's really the way it is with all of us at some time or another. And we constantly need to have an attitude check, and that's what Paul is setting before us in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, and particularly in verse 7, when he humbles us in the dust with a series of three questions which he asks. And I'll get back to that, but first I pause to welcome you to this Monday, July 12, Beacon Broadcast, and thank you for helping us teach God's Word on this station. Now, answering these questions honestly will sure help you adjust your attitude. And here it is, 1 Corinthians 4:7, "For who makes you differ from another? And what do you have that you did not receive? Now if you did indeed receive it, why do you boast as if you had not received it? Three searching questions. Answer them honestly. Who makes you to differ from another? When you have that feeling of pride, that feeling of superiority, that feeling that I sure am better than that person, like that self-righteous Pharisee that Jesus talked about who went up to the temple and praying to God, he said, I thank you that I'm not like this publican. Why, I tithe of all that I possess, and I pray, and I'm a righteous person. And the publican just wouldn't even look to heaven, just bowed his head and smote his breast and said, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And Jesus said, the publican went down from the temple justified that day. Not the Pharisee, not the self-righteous one, not the one who didn't think that he needed any justification, not the one who saw himself as superior, not the one who saw himself as righteous, not the one who was parading all of his good things before God for God's approval. He didn't go down from the temple justified, and if he didn't adjust his attitude, he would not go into heaven when he dies. He would go down into the pit. But this publican, who probably had been a scoundrel for a good bit of his life, but he came to the place where he saw himself as a sinner in need of grace, in need of mercy. And he just smote his chest and said, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I acknowledge I'm a sinner. I'm a wretched sinner. I deserve condemnation, but oh, be merciful to me, a sinner. And he was justified by a merciful God. The attitude we have is pretty important. It's very important. It's very important in our relationship with others, and it's even more important in our relationship with God. And so back to question number one, who makes you differ from another? And the answer, of course, is God. Anything you have that is good, anything that is commendable, anything that is laudatory, anything that would in some way set you apart from others and set you apart from others in a favorable light, you aren't responsible for that. I'm sorry. Contradict if you will, but I'm trying to help you. You need to understand that if there's any good thing in you at all, it's God who put it there. If there's any ability in you at all, it's God who gave you the ability. If there's any accomplishment in your life, it's God who enabled you to accomplish what you accomplished. Certainly you may have worked hard. Certainly there may be things that you can point to, but folks, anything that you've achieved, you have been able to achieve because God gave you the ability to do that. And without that, you couldn't have done it. And so who makes you to differ from another? If you are in some way superior to someone else, who's responsible for that? Are you responsible for that? Nope, God is. That'll adjust your attitude if you think that through. Question number two, what do you have that you did not receive? Now, this is another way, in a sense, of saying the same thing. Again, verse 7, for who makes you to differ from another? Question number one. Question number two, and what do you have that you did not receive? Do you have something that sets you apart from others? Where did you get it? Are you responsible for this advantage? No. Nope. What do you have that you did not receive? Nothing. Every gift, every good gift cometh down from the Father above. You have nothing that ultimately can be attributed to your personal achievement. Nothing. Boy, that's tough. But to fail to acknowledge this is to display ingratitude to God. That's why the songwriter wrote, nothing in my hand I bring, simply to thy cross I cling. Because ultimately we have nothing that we did not receive. How can we take something that God gave us and hold that up to him as if that's meritorious? This ought to please you. This ought to commend me to you. This ought to merit eternal life. This ought to merit your favor. You ought to bless me for this. Why? I gave it to you. That's not yours. You didn't come up with that. You didn't do that on your own. You did that because of what I gave you. What do you have that you did not receive? Nothing, 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 nothing. A big, fat zero. Which brings us then to the third question. These three questions will certainly adjust our attitude. Question number three. Why do you boast? As if you did not receive it. Again, for who makes you differ from another? Answer, God. What do you have that you did not receive? Answer, nothing. Now, if you did indeed receive it, why do you boast as if you had not received it? Good question. Why are you taking credit for it? Why are you boasting about it? And the answer is because of your ungodly pride. I should say our ungodly pride. I've got as much of it as you have and maybe more. We all have it. This wretched, Adamic pride that all of us have. And it will ruin us if we don't recognize it. It will ruin us if we don't humble ourselves before the mighty hand of God. It will ruin us if the Holy Spirit of God doesn't show us our pride and we learn to give it to God and to understand reality as He reveals it to us and to take our place in the dust and to humble ourselves before Him and to acknowledge that there's nothing good in me except what has been given to me by God. Nothing. Nothing. So why do you boast? As if you did not receive it, if, as is the truth, everything good in your life was given to you by God. Why are you taking credit for it? Why is it causing you to feel you're superior? Why is it causing you to have an attitude? Why is it causing you to look down your nose at others? Why is it causing you to think you are superior to others? Why are you looking down at people of a certain race? Why are you looking down at people of a certain background, a certain economic classification? Why are you acting superior to people who are born in to a certain environment, born into a certain part of the country, born into a certain part of the world? Why are you acting superior to people like that as if whatever advantage you have is something that you are responsible for when you are not? Who makes you to differ from another? God. What do you have that you did not receive? Nothing. Why then do you boast as if you did not receive it? Good question. Because of pride. And therefore, we need to acknowledge our sinful pride, confess it as sin, and ask God to help us to cultivate a Christ-like attitude of grateful humility. Because we don't have that naturally. Pride comes naturally. And by naturally, I mean it comes by our Adamic nature, our human nature, our birth nature, our first birth nature. That's pride comes in large doses, huge doses from that source. Where does humility come from? It comes from the work of God's Spirit in our hearts. It comes from the work of the new birth. And then beyond that, the sanctifying work of the Holy Spirit within us. So, acknowledge your sinful pride. Acknowledge that it is sin. Ask God to help you to cultivate a Christ-like humility and an attitude of gratitude. Adjust that attitude and make it a Christ-like attitude. And then you will be able to relate properly to God and to others. Until tomorrow, Greg Barkman saying good day. May God give you His eternal peace.